I want to share that I need you all. I need each and every one of you here. And I really mean that when I say that. See, I need you. I need Keith Hall in my life. I do. You know why I need Keith Hall in my life? Because sometimes, yeah, thank you. Was that your son-in-law that said that? I need Keith Hall in my life because, you know, there are a lot of days that I don't feel like the prettiest princess. And Keith Hall, every single week, comes up to me and says, "You stud. You're looking studly today." I love it. It lifts my spirits. It makes me smile. It's something that I really appreciate. And, I mean, Keith, you know, comes and gives me a hug. I mean, every week I can count on Keith to do that. But I also need Reed Martin in my life, right? And I need Carol. I need Carol in my life. And I need Brent Good in my life and Tamara. I need Marty in my life. I need Sam and Kathy, Cam and Kath, Sam, Cam, whatever, those two. I need them in my life as well. And I need Linda, and I need Pam, and I need Bree, and I need Riley, and I need Matt, and April, and Trish, and Greg, and Jake, and Kristen, and Craig. I need everybody in my life. All of you in this room, I need in my life. Just because I didn't say your name doesn't mean I don't need you. I'd be here for a while, right? But see, I cannot do life alone. And I can't live life alone. I can't do this by myself. I can't be a believer. I can't be a disciple kind of all by myself. And at one point, it would have been weird for me to say something like that, right? Because as you know, I am a dude, right? And all dudes, we should be able to do things for ourselves, right? Amen, guys? Yeah, I mean, we're men. We're manly men. And we should be able to do everything for ourselves. But goodness, is that far from the truth? You know, as men, we typically find it difficult to have really close friends and that we can count on, that we can depend on, that we can be challenged by. And when I was at Happy Corner Church of the Brethren, great name of a church, by the way, I started this men's group that became so close that they still meet together weekly now over 20 years later. The same group meets weekly. And that group of believers, those brothers in Christ, I call my BIC group, my brothers in Christ group, they taught me, encouraged me, challenged me, support me in so many ways, and they still reach out to me today. That's what it means to be a group of a band of brothers or sisters, right, together. It was a small group, we call them life groups here, that taught me the power of walking together, of doing life together. Now today, I have people who I can count on. Although many times I don't know how to ask for help, I'm really bad at that. I have people who will help me with so many different things, not because I ask for it, but because they know that I need it. They know me well enough to know when I need something, right? I mean, these are the friends that I cherish the most. You know, the people that take me out to lunch because they know I just need somebody to sit with. And I don't want to talk about church. I just want to sit with somebody. There are people who have helped me in practical ways because they know that I needed that little extra boost. You know, people who have come to my office to give me a hug or a prayer or a kind, encouraging word because they knew that I needed it. They saw me on Sunday. They just saw that I was kind of run down and pooped and tired. So they come and actually, I shouldn't say my office, and all of our offices on the last, where the stage is, and they come and give me a hug or they say hello to me. You know, I'm grateful to have these kinds of people in my life. I mean, they're my life group friends, they're my clearness team, they're the people who have chosen to walk intentionally with me through my life. And we don't always meet for Bible studies, right? But we gather together spontaneously for a deep life connection and reflection. You know, we don't always eat together, but we feast upon the relationship that God has blessed us with as we grow together. I mean, we don't have regular meetings during the week, but we make sure that we have space where we can listen to and encourage one another when listening, just listening, is required. I truly love these people. But the question is do you have these people in your life? I mean, I can have some in my life, but do you have them in your life? Do you have a person in your group that you can count on that would put your needs above their own and focus on how to serve and how to help you to get through the midst of the muckiness of life? I mean, the scripture talks about this kind of need. It talks about how we cannot do life alone and that we are to never give up being with one another, walking alongside of one another on this journey of faith and life. So we're going to take a look. So in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 through 12, it says these words: "Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. And if either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity on the one who falls, and no one is there to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. How can one keep warm alone? And though many are overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. These words are powerful words. They're powerful because I think these are words that we constantly need to hear spoken to in our lives. See, the writer of Ecclesiastes wants us to understand that friendship and relationships are a good investment, that doing life together is the best way to do life. You know, when the author says in verse 9, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. The words good reward actually can be translated as a good return. It means like a dividend paid on a wise investment. See, the very best investment, he's saying, that you'll ever make in your life is not a financial one, but it's a relationship one, right? It's a relationship, you know, vertically with God, and then it's a relationship horizontally with one another. And when we get the best return on our investment, on an investment made with relationships with Jesus, with one another, than any other investment that we're going to make in our lives. Now we all go through life, and there's these two things that we can give our lives to. First, we can try and accumulate more and more possessions. You know, they're constantly trying to get more and more stuff. It's attributed to the late Malcolm Forbes, who says, "He who dies with the most toys wins," right? Well, after he's passed, he probably learned that that's an inaccurate statement. But if we spend all of our lives trying to accumulate more and more possessions, we'll never truly be happy or fulfilled. And on the other hand, if we decide to focus on building relationships, trying to make friends and be a friend to others, that will fill our cup. And it's not just here in this room, but it's in our communities. Michelle shared earlier, and this is really interesting. She talked earlier about going out to the neighborhoods and that the neighborhoods need to be the place where we reach out and be the hands and feet of Jesus. In our denomination, the Church of the Brethren, we just released kind of our vision statement. And what it talks about is that as a denomination, we're really trying hard to get out into the communities through relationship neighborhood engagement. And so it's really great that we're ahead of the curve, Michelle, and encouraging us to do that. Friends, building relationships, whether it's here right beside each other or building those relationships outside of the church, are the most important relationships on this earth that we can have. Verse 9 sets the stage for the rest of the scripture we're looking at today. It sets the stage by saying that two is better than one, right? That living in community is better than living alone, right? And that's helpful information for us this morning. See, the wonderful part of this verse, it explains how we are to be good friends to one another, how we are to live life with one another. So we're going to talk about what a real friend looks like. As I read the scripture, I came to realize that a friend will always help you when you're down. Listen to that scripture again. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who falls alone. He has no one to help him up. Now, you may have a lot of people in your life that you would call acquaintances, right? But maybe very few of you have somebody that you would call a real friend, a true friend. And someone suggested that how can you kind of tell the difference between a friend and an acquaintance? That all of us should be able to have enough close friends that we would have enough people to act as pallbearers at our funeral, right? And that the difference between a friend and acquaintance is that you will find out what a friend is and what acquaintance is when you get into trouble. Right? I mean, the people who are still around you are going to be your friends, and there may not be as many as you once thought there were. These are the kinds of people that you can call them at 2 a.m. and tell them that you need them, and an acquaintance would say, well, what's the problem, before they decide whether or not to come. And a real friend would say, where are you, as they're getting dressed. You know, that's a friend. How many people like that do you have in your life that you can pick up the phone and call and they'd be right there without asking a question? I'm going to be there for you. How many people do you have in your life that will truly help you when you're down in the dumps of life? A Proverbs writer says, a friend loves at all times, but a brother is born of adversity. You know, how is that so true? A true friend is with it through all things, not just when it's convenient or when it's for themselves. A friend is someone, number two, a friend is someone who provides emotional or physical warmth in a cruel world. It says this, again, two lie down together, they will keep warm, but how can one be warm alone? Now, sometimes we have a tendency to take this passage extremely literally, but we miss the whole point of this idea. Yes, it's more than just keeping people physically warm, right? It's about how we face circumstances beyond our control. We need to gain emotional strength, and that two people have to be so close that they can actually support and help one another out. Friends, it is a cold world out there. There are a lot of things that are happening. And in those circumstances, when we're facing the battle, we need someone to walk with us through that time. We often will say, how am I going to make it through this day? And if we don't have those people walking so close to us that we feel this emotional warmth, this spiritual warmth, friend, I don't know how people can make that. and life. And that's the time when we need that emotional strength from a brother or sister. And not everyone has that kind of strength, right, that they can give us. We know the reality of life is that we're going to encounter a lot of people who, when we spend time with them, you know, they drain our emotional gas tank. You guys know those people, or you're probably thinking about that person now. I hope it isn't me, but that's some of those people, we have those. And when we leave their presence, we feel absolutely drained. I mean, we're just so spent. And there's an Irish blessing that says, may those who love us, and those who don't love us, may God turn their hearts. And if he doesn't turn their hearts, may he turn their ankles so that we'll know them by their limping. Yes, you know? I mean, there are other people, though, that are our really close friends, right? That when we spend time with them, you know, that emotional gas gauge just shoots through the roof. They are supportive. They are encouraging. They actually listen to you. There's a conversation. You're building the relationship. And you leave there with a sense of joy in your heart rather than feeling that you've just worn out everything, right? There are people who will comfort you in times of need. And whether it's emotional support or a hand to hold or a hug or a shoulder to cry, and those are the people that are there with you, for you. A third, a friend is someone who will fight to protect your reputation. Scripture says, though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And these words were actually written based on a military strategy in the ancient world. Almost all combat was hand-to-hand, and soldiers would go into combat with a partner, someone that they could trust, right? They counted on implicitly. And soldiers, they would stand back-to-back, and they would always keep their backs towards one another in contact so that they could fight no matter where the enemies were coming from. Friends, see, they not only desire to not stab you in the back, they actually guard your back. There's a big difference between I'm not going to stab you and I'm actually going to defend you, right? You know, there are way too many people in this world who are against us. Too many people that when the things get tough, well, goodness, they get going. And this is part of the scripture that is really clear of what we need to be as a people who, when we are in the face of battle, they're the ones who actually stand their ground with us. And I know I can tell you many times when I was in the muck and the mire that I reached out and I thought people had my back and I thought people were defending me, only to realize that the relationship that I had with them was all about what they needed and what they wanted from me. And they weren't looking out for me. It was about their needs and their ambitions. We just cannot be like that kind of people. We need to stand shoulder to shoulder, protecting one another, strengthening one another, not giving to fear or worry, but surrendering to the living Christ together. There's a member of this church, I won't pick them out, but almost every week they come to me and they say, Brian, I've got your back. Have you ever been told that, like to your face? I've got your back. That feels amazing. It feels amazing because a lot of times things happen behind your back. People talk behind your back. People whisper behind your back. People do things behind your back. But to know that somebody's back there keeping an eye out, I know God's back there, but to have a human back there keeping an eye out too, I've got your back. I love it. I mean, I love that feeling of knowing that someone is there that I can count on to watch my back with me, who will catch me if I fall or falter, who will protect me when I need it the most, or when I'm doing something wrong, that they're going to hold me accountable. They got my back. Do you have somebody who has your back? Finally, a friend is committed to helping you grow spiritually. The text from Proverbs 27:17 says this, as iron sharpens iron, a man sharpens a man, right? The greatest gift that you can give anybody is a gift of an invitation into a relationship with God. And true friends, they really desire to see us grow beyond where we are right now. I mean, we can all be great right now, but they really push us. They really desire us to grow into a deeper relationship with God. The writers of Proverbs has said that friends help sharpen us to become sharp spiritually. It takes a little bit more time. You kind of compare this to a type of friendship that iron is being banged on by iron. It's kind of like a blacksmith. He's taking a hammer and he's kind of beating it into a sword, and he takes out a piece of metal and he's just working that iron, and he works on it slowly and continuously, and as a shape starts to take place and it starts to sharpen the sword. I mean, it's always challenging to push one another and to drive one another, but that's what God calls us to do. As iron sharpens iron, we need to keep working together and challenging each other and pushing us, one another, to what God has called us to be. And that's tough. That's really tough. Sometimes it's ouchy. Sometimes you need to wear your steel-toed shoes to church, but it's difficult. But it's so rewarding. And I think what the scripture is talking about is that we are to be a community of people, being friends to one another, growing together, doing life together. You do that by coming to church. You surround yourself with the body of believers. You do that by joining a small group, a Sunday school class, a life group is what we call them, that will walk with you through the toughest times. You do that by engaging ministry with one another, finding ways that you can serve others and serve God. I mean, to be candid, I'm not sure how many people really in life have true friends, the kind of friends that Ecclesiastes is writing about. A person who walks with you in tough times, a person who won't let you down, a person who is there emotionally and physically, a person who protects you and a person that will help you grow spiritually. I don't know how many people have those kinds of friends in their life, and I don't think many people have those kinds of deep friendships, deep relationships. And I've been blessed throughout my whole life to be surrounded by people throughout my whole life, no matter where I came from. You know, they're my cheerleaders, right? They're my support group. They're there for me, even when I'm not there. Even when I'm not there for myself, I don't think I'm a stud. I got Keith Hall saying, "You're a stud, Brian. I love it." Right? You may not have those people right now, and you may be saying to yourself right now, "I wish I had that kind of person in my life. Where can I get a friend like that?" Proverbs 18:24 says this: "A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." Friends, there may be times when the people on this earth will let us down. After all, we are human. However, there is a person, a friend, who sticks closer than a brother, and his name is Jesus. Jesus demonstrated what it meant to live in community. Jesus walked with 12 brothers, so many more throughout his ministry. Jesus encouraged people. He confronted and taught them. He sat with them and spoke with them. He challenged them. He ate with them. Jesus wept with them. Jesus did everything that anyone could ever ask for in a friend. And what a friend we have in Jesus. Amen, church? He is your best friend, and he already knows you better than you know yourself. He is to be your best friend because he has done for you more than anybody else will ever do. He is to be your best friend because he will always be there when you need him. He is a friend who has already paid our debt on the cross. He is a friend who is always accessible and will never leave you. He is always searching for you, and he never will leave you alone. What a friend we have in Jesus. One of my favorite oldies to watch is Gilligan's Island. Now, I hesitate in saying that because some of you, when I say oldies and all of you are like, "I grew up with that," you're thinking I'm calling you old, and that would be true. And so one of my favorite oldies was Gilligan's Island. And I watched it on reruns. And for you younger peeps, just sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a faithful trip. Basically, it's a story of this shipwreck crew, right? And dealings of living together and the attempts of making it back home. The show absolutely makes no sense at all. There's no way that 3 hours they would have been that lost that no one would be able to find them. But anyways, it has lots of weird things, issues, but it was funny. It has some good messages to share. One of these still connects with me still, has a lot to do with doing life together. See, there was an episode in which Gilligan had gotten his feeling hurt and decided to move away from their kind of compound to the other side of the island and live alone in a cave. And immediately he became miserable, right? It was a miserable existence for Gilligan. And he was all alone, but not only was he miserable, everyone else on the island was miserable, right? Because he was no longer with them, right? In fellowship with them. And it was a terrible void that he left. I mean, they missed him at the dinner table. I mean, they missed his jokes and his laughter and his gentleness. They missed his kind of clumsy mess ups. And I think at one point in the episode, they were all sitting down at the table and they were taking turns talking about the specific things that they missed about him. And so what do they do? And I think it began with the skipper. See, he decided that he was going to leave the rest of the group and he was going to go be with Gilligan so that he wouldn't be alone. And then another person did the same, and then another, until all 7 people were together again on this other side of the island in this little cave, in Gilligan's cave. It wasn't fun to be alone. It's not good to do life alone. You do not have to do life alone here. If you use your concordance and you look at all of the things between Acts and Revelation in which you see the word together, you'll hear things like this. The body of believers met together. They prayed together. They shared material things with one another. They ate together. They consulted with and advised one another. They planned and they strategized together. They worked together. They stand together under attack. See, Jesus never intended any of his followers to follow him in isolation from other believers. whenever it is possible, Christ intends for all of us to be in this together, not just for an hour on Sunday morning, not just during official church meetings, but throughout the day-to-day course of our life, we are to be together. So I don't know if you have good friends or acquaintances, or perhaps you know those who you can truly count on. I don't know if you've been let down or cast aside or maybe even betrayed by some of those friends in your life. What I do know is that we are to latch on to Jesus as the one who never lets us go. And we are to latch on to others, and perhaps in that embrace of the Holy Spirit, we will find people who can travel this world with us, this road with us, and who will love us for who we are and encourage us along this way, as Hebrews 10 shares, that will spur us on to love and good deeds. I mean, look around, friends. Look around you. Go ahead. Look around. See these other people in this room. You know, I believe somebody in this room can embody Jesus to you. I believe somebody in this room can be the answer that you've looked for in terms of a connection. I believe that you are not alone, and if you just spend some time developing the relationships here in this room, you will be filled with such a powerful presence in your life. Take a leap of faith. You know, join a life group. Get involved. Come to worship. Meet more than just the one person that's sitting next to you here, because we need to do this together. We need to do life together. Amen? All right. Take this out, if you will. Over the last seven weeks, Kim and Dean and I have really been challenging and encouraging and at some points really pushing you towards looking at your own spiritual life, your own spiritual house, and seeing what has needed to be renovated in it. And we've talked about so many, a variety of things. And today, we want to just encourage you to go to the next step. On this list are a lot of the things that we talked, not everything, but a lot of the things that we discussed over these last 7 weeks. And, you know, a lot of times we can say, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and, number 2, write out my prayers to people at ECOB and give it to them through text or email or Facebook or a letter. But when we actually write it down on a piece of paper and turn it in, there's something weighty with that. It's a desire, a willingness to follow through. And so for a moment here, Dean's going to kind of play a little bit in the background here. Would just encourage you to look through this and think about all of the things that we talked about over these last 7 weeks and start checking things off. I already checked off my stuff. And if you want to put your name down at the bottom, I will be sure to reach out to you and encourage you to do that. So take some time, pray about this, and at the end, Dean will invite us into a time of worship as we close out the service.
We go from this place, from this moment of commitment, from this time of reflecting on what God is calling us individually to. And as we come together with those commitments, it kind of creates a new life within the body as we move forward together. And so we move forward as a church, standing together for His purposes. Amen. Amen. Let's close with some worship.
Saints will proclaim your love forever. Blinded by your hands, we sing. One body, one spirit, we arise. One hope, one faith, we arise. By your strength, your power, your love and grace, we arise. By your strength, your power, your love and grace, we arise, arise. One body, one spirit, we arise. One hope, one faith, Lord, we arise. By your strength, your power, your love and grace, we arise. By your strength, your power, your love and grace, we arise. By your strength, your power, your grace, we arise, arise.
Amen. Amen. So on the way out, there's a box or bin back there. We encourage you to drop this off, the big one, and then you're going to keep the little one running with you, okay?
God, we just thank you so much for this series, for as we continue to develop and as we continue to grow and to challenge and be encouraged by your word. God, may our lives be enriched and deepened as we continue to dive deeper into our relationship with you and what it means to be a disciple of your son, Jesus. God, may we continue to do that together as the body of Christ as we proclaim your kingdom come, your will be done, and as we continue to live a life worthy of the calling that you have for us. For we pray all this in your son's name and all Jesus' people said, amen.